helpful, but I found it quite difficult at times to understand. I'm trying to apply these principles that I teach about in my life, and I hope that you can get something out of this too. With that being said, my topic tonight is the causes of spiritual distractions and how we can deal with them. We live in a crazy world nowadays where there is just endless distractions that can distract us from our faith and from God. And we have to understand that there's nobody that this singles out. We all can suffer from spiritual distractions and distractions. When we become distracted from our faith, we become separated from God. And this is a spiritual distraction. The definition of a normal distraction is a distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving their full attention to something else. A spiritual distraction is something that takes us on the wrong path and takes us farther away from God. So as you can see that a spiritual distraction is a distraction, but not all distractions are spiritual distractions. I'd first like to start off by talking about nowadays we have become conditioned to a lot of these spiritual distractions and is harming and interfering with our ability to pray and to meditate and refocus back on God. And this makes a spiritual distraction a spiritual danger. And it's an evil that we need God's deliverance from. In Matthew 6:13, I think it's deliver us not from temptation, but deliver us from evil. Put out with me. All right, I'm going to turn to Matthew. I can't remember exactly. Matthew 6:13. Matthew 6:13. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This evil that he's talking about is the same evil that I am talking about here when it means we need deliverance from this. The next thing I'd like to talk about is self-control. And I'd first like to start by talking about some simple ways and everyday ways that we lose self-control. The first one that I'd like to talk about is eating. Eating can become a spiritual distraction when you value it more than going to church. Or if you think about how obesity is a problem in America nowadays, that's when it takes over your life and it kind of consumes you, and you are more involved in that than you are in God. And that's how it becomes a spiritual distraction. The next thing I'd like to talk about is gaming. Gaming can become a spiritual distraction when you value it more than you would say God, or you focus on that more than you want to go to church, or you want to do that more. When you have to decide between the two, you would pick that over church. That's when that becomes a spiritual distraction, because it's separating you from God. The next one I like to talk about is movies and television. If you look at, you know, the TV nowadays, there's a lot of bad stuff up there. And that can definitely, if you watch that too much and it kind of consumes you, you kind of come consumed in the TV where you almost don't even want to go outside anymore, you just want to watch that so much, it's just kind of putting all that stuff in you. That can eventually separate you from God when you're focusing more on that than you are on God. Especially if there's no God on your TV, then you are certainly focusing on that more than you are on God, and it becomes a spiritual distraction. And all these come back to self-control, because you need self-control to, bring yourself away from these things. So that's what makes self-control so important. The next one I'd like to talk about is drinking. We all know that there are alcoholics in our world nowadays, and drinking can, once again, it can consume your life, and you would always want that. And after a while, if it keeps coming back, eventually you'll choose that over the Bible. And when you choose that over the Bible, that is the second it becomes a spiritual distraction. That is pulling you away, and it is separating you from your faith, and it is running you off. The next thing I like to talk about is smoking. Smoking can also, it's kind of like drinking. They kind of go hand in hand. These are both two things that can pull at you and separate you from your God, and they can become a spiritual distraction. The lust of the flesh. This is certainly a spiritual distraction that affects everybody. There's nobody that's singled out from this either. It once again, that's a pretty self-explanatory one. It kind of lets you know that that is a spiritual distraction. Lusting after something else or following somebody else, it moves you away from God, because that's not what God commanded us to do, and that can pull us away. Technology, as in computers and cell phones, those can take us away from God too, because they're kind of like, with the TV part, it kind of just, there's a lot of stuff that is now portrayed nowadays as kind of put out there as not much of a bad thing anymore. And after a while, like I said, we become conditioned to it, and it's always just pulling at us, and that can become a spiritual distraction. I'd also like to talk about, if you look at some of these other churches, if you look at these big, you know, grand churches that they have, where they have, you know, all the music and all the stuff in it, and as Chief would say, you'd have the, like, four different deacons and stuff behind the preacher and all that stuff. all that, those are distractions. Those definitely, because I know for me, I've been to a couple of different, I haven't been to many, but I've been to a couple of different ones where you can go in there and, you know, you're just looking at everything and it kind of just, it takes away from what's really happening and what's really being preached, if they ever get to the preaching, as the chief would say. You know, a lot of times the chief would make the example where he says that you would ask somebody, they would be like, we had a great service today. You'd ask them what they learned, and they'll be like, well, we didn't even get to the Bible. We didn't even learn anything because we had so many songs to sing, and we just did all this. That is a very common spiritual distraction in a lot of churches, where you're focused more on, you know, how grand and how vast all this stuff is and all these celebrations and dances they're doing in the front. It takes away from what you're really there for, which is the Bible. I'd also like to bring up that not all distractions are bad. Now, some distractions humble us and force us to ask God for the help we so desperately need, and it can build our faith. So it's not really more the fact that if the distraction is going to come, it's that some distractions can help you. Because in Nehemiah chapter 4, God has let the Jerusalem wall builders and Nehemiah be distracted by the enemies, if you guys remember in Nehemiah chapter 4. So once again, God does allow some distractions to come in and affect us, and, you know, just to build our faith, because they do help us in some way. I'd also like to talk about, there's another, something else. We get distracted in ourselves and our problems, and we lose sight of God. This is called selfish. You know, you're being selfish. You're being selfishness. When you come absorbed in yourself, and you're like, you know, woe is me, I have so many problems, and, you know, it's like, you know, they're just too big, God can't handle them, you know, or you're just so focused on yourself that it can actually take away from your faith. And it can become a spiritual distraction. So I like to say that, you know, next time in our prayers, you know, when we're asking prayers for ourselves, we should always ask for others too. And, you know, don't let, you know, it not always be about us all the time, because it's not always about us. It's about God and other people. So you should try to pray for other people and not only ourselves. Some other type of distractions that we have, we like to be entertained by media, music, television, movies, and books. And they all, you know, provide some sort of, like, escape from our daily lives. And these is something that we cannot, there is nothing that says we cannot provide ourselves a little break from reality by being entertained. But when that entertainment gets in the way of our faith, it becomes a spiritual distraction. We need to prioritize what's most important. If we're choosing entertainment over God, we have been given into these distractions. And so entertainment can be a distraction too. We should, avoid, like, splurging, I guess you could say, on, you know, just doing a bunch of fun stuff, because it can certainly take away from your focus on God. So one of the next distractions I'd like to talk about is money. Money itself is not the interference with our walk with God, but it is the love of money. And I'd like to read a passage from Matthew 6, 19 through 25. So if you would turn with me there. Matthew 6, 19 through 25. And it says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take not thought of your life, and what ye shall eat, and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I brought up this passage because what it's saying here is that you shouldn't focus on a lot of these worldly things. Money is a worldly thing. If you love money so much, obviously that can definitely take you off of God, because you're supposed to love God, and especially you're supposed to love Him over money. I mean, it's not bad to, like, have money, because nowadays, if you don't have money, your life is not going to be as smooth going as it should. So you should have money, but the love of money and focusing on that so much is what tears you apart. So what it's saying here is that you should, you know, you shouldn't lay all your treasures in money. That shouldn't be what is so valuable to you. What should be valued to you is your place in heaven, or trying to get to heaven, your goal, which is getting to heaven. And that should be, that's when it's talking about, you know, lay your treasures up in heaven and not on the body. The next thing I would like to speak on is lust. Love and relationships between people, things like friends, parents, siblings, spouses, girlfriend and boyfriends, children, coworkers, and bosses. People like to think that, you know, lust and love, you know, only gets in the way of certain people, but they don't. They pertain to everybody. Nobody is secluded from this. But we must remember that, you know, we are commanded to love in 1 John 3:11. And so when we do it, it is an act of God, but we should not, it is an act of obedience to God. But when we do it, we shouldn't let it be more valuable to us than, you know, God, I would say. I would say that if your family, you know, like, believes in something different than what you believe in, you shouldn't, like, go with them because you feel like they're right or because you feel like you owe them allegiance. You should first go off what you believe in, you know, find out for yourself, go find the information for yourself. And then if you are sure that you're right, then you can bring it to your family. But you shouldn't let your connection between them, you know, make them different from anybody else. Because, you know, wrong is wrong and, you know, right is right. Next thing I like to think about is things in general, just things in general, and not only money. Now, I say things are, it's important to learn the difference between what we need and what we want. Things in life are here but for a short time, but God is eternal, and eternal life is what God needs to be our priority, and not how much stuff we own while we're here. I like to bring up the story, which is kind of might be the most obvious story. Some of you might be already thinking of it, but the rich man. He was certainly a person of things. He loved all his things, and he, I think there was it two different rich men? There was one that didn't want to give up all his stuff and follow Jesus. And there was also the rich man that had died, and he wanted to go back and tell his family about, you know, what is going to come on. And it also says that it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven, as it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. So having a bunch of things and, you know, making that be your focus can definitely get in the way. And this can become a spiritual distraction because it pulls you away from God. You're more focused on that, and you don't want to give that up to follow Jesus because, you know, you feel like it's too much. When really, none of it really matters. I've seen a comparison before. They had this person, he had a rope. And on the rope, there was a small piece of the rope was red on this end, and then the rest of the rope was the rest of it. You know, it was just a normal rope. And he said, on the red part right here, he said, this is the part, this is our life. He said, the red part is very small. He said, this is the part that a lot of people focus on, especially people that are very materialistic people and focus on materialistic things. He said, this is how long life is. He said, but the rest of the rope is eternity. And he said, now which part do you think is more important? It's more important on what's eternity and where you're spending eternity at. So it's not really much of the things that you have. It's more of, you know, where you're going. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure God's going to supply with everything you need in heaven, so you shouldn't, you know, want to be taking all this stuff with you. Another type of distraction I like to talk about is school. School and work. More, when I say school, I mean more of like education. I'd say that some people value education like super highly, and they just feel like, you know, they just need to know everything, when really you don't need to know everything. Honestly, I don't know if you can ever know everything. And I mean, God knew everything, and I kind of leave that up to him. You shouldn't want to know everything. Education should never be so important to you that you should choose it over God, or you should, you know, want to go to school over than going to church. You know, I mean, they have Bible school, so I don't know why you would want to do that anyways. But, so you'll never want to do that. And the other thing I like to talk about is work. You shouldn't let, you know, your work get in the way. You should never choose that over choosing the Bible or choosing church. Like, there should always be, like, a hierarchy kind of where you put your things at. And, you know, God and the church should be at the top. You should always put that over everything else. There should never be, you know, question about whether do I need to go to work, because that's just poor time management. I mean, you should be able to, you know, choose God over your work, so you shouldn't let that get in the way. And also, I'd like to say that, kind of going back to self a little bit, I'd say service, you know, doing work for God. You shouldn't want to, do stuff like evangelize, I guess you could say, do works for God, but, like, for your own self-gain, for, like, self-praise, or, you know, to high-praise yourself, like, oh, I did this, and oh, I did that. Like, you should be doing it for God. And that can actually become a spiritual distraction in itself. If you're trying to do all this stuff, you know, to make yourself feel good because you think that you're doing more than the next person over, when really you can't, you know, earn your way into heaven. So there should be no reason why you do that. So after that list of distractions, I'd like to also give us some stuff that can help us, you know, to move forward when these spiritual distractions come up, because it's not a question of, you know, if they're going to happen, it's a question of when. So the first thing I'd like to say is forgive yourself and give yourself time. We're all going to mess up a lot of times, and some people, You know, when you feel yourself getting, you know, you get off track and you know that you got off track, you shouldn't, you know, be down about it, because we all get off track sometime in our lives. And you should forgive yourself about it and, you know, pray and you'll be all right. You know, just keep going forward. You shouldn't let that hold you back. The next thing I'd like to say is go back to where you last were with God. Whether you were praying, studying, reading, whatever, you know, pick back up and go forward. You should never let's say you're reading the Bible. You say, you know, you're reading the Bible and you get a little tired, or the TV's on, and, you know, you get more focused on what's on the TV. So you start focusing on that. You know, that's a spiritual distraction. It's pulling you away from, you know, your studying or gaining your own understanding. So I would say that, you know, you just stop right there. You'd be like, you know what? I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't watch TV. Turn it off and, you know, go back to what she's doing. Refocus. Make it on that. Swap what you're listening to. A lot of times, you know, if you think about the fact of what an actual headphones or earbuds are, or what a radio is, it's something that's projecting sound. Like, if you have headphones, it's like right into your ear. So it's like very close to your brain. And if something is that close to your brain, it should definitely be something that has God into it. You wouldn't want something that is evil or something that is degrading, that is just right here, just blasting into your head. It's going to, you know, take you apart. So I feel like if a spiritual distraction comes on, you should, you know, you can put some headphones in and listen to some gospel music, you know, kind of refocus you back on, you know, what you're doing and, you know, what you're doing all this for, you know, why we're here. Another thing I like to say is pray. You know, praying, I mean, it's almost like our superpower. It's like the Christian's, like, best superpower, is that we have that connection with God and that we can always, you know, pray. So, I mean, of course, that would always help when a spiritual distraction or anything comes along to, you know, mess you up. You can always pray. The next thing I like to say is shut it all down. This is something that is very good at our house. When the news comes on at 6 o'clock, Chief always says, he walks around the house and he's talking about, like, shut it all down. Like, we're going to shut it all down because the news is on. So, yeah, he does that all the time. So what I like to say is that when one of these distractions come along, you should always, you know, stop everything. You know, you recognize, you have to catch it first. Once you catch it, because, I mean, you're going to get it eventually. I mean, they don't just, like, slip in and just take us away. Like, if, you know, you're unconscious and you have your self-control and you catch that distraction, you should shut it all down, you know, stop. And be like, you know what, I need to go back to this right here. And go back to, you know, the Bible. And then, you know, refocus and go back in. So I said all that to come back and say that, not, you know, distractions can be good or bad. Good if we are able to recognize and make the change for God that furthers us in our faith, and bad if we lose focus and forget God completely. So I hope this information has encouraged you in a positive way, and I'd also like to remind us of the plan of salvation, to hear the gospel of Christ, believe in Christ, repent of your sins, confess Jesus, be baptized, and live faithfully until death. If you have a need, please come as we stand and sing.
Before I serve the Lord's Supper, I'd just like to say one thing. Joshua.